This is Carrie Cooper, and you're listening to You Too Have Hope. Christmas is just a few days away, and here at the ministry, we're celebrating the end of a year-long focus on how to study the Bible for yourself. And if you're like me, I'm sure there have been times that you've opened the Bible with good intentions to read it, but for whatever reason, walked away discouraged and frustrated, and that's why we developed our Bible study headquarters on youtohavehope.com. That's the letter U, the number 2, havehope.com. We are a nonprofit radio ministry, so everything on our site is completely free for you to access. So there's nothing to hinder you from maturing in your faith in Christ. Since we're so close to Christmas, I thought it would be the perfect time to address some of the popular objections that many people have to Jesus and the virgin birth. You may remember Mikel Del Rosario, who's also known as the apologetics guy. He's back with us again this week. Mikel, thanks for being here. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
Well, I'm really thrilled and very interested about our conversation today because we have a very timely conversation as Christmas season is upon us and we're thinking about, from the Christian perspective, we're thinking about all the wonderful things that happen when we celebrate the birth of Christ. But on the other side of that equation, there are many people who have serious doubts as to was Jesus a historical person and the reality of Jesus's existence. And then there's several other questions that follow that line of thought. So help us build that foundation of why we can comfortably and confidently believe and trust that Jesus was a real person.
It's so interesting that this comes up, you know, right before Christmas, right before Easter. You know, people will see these things on TV and whatnot and go, I don't really know if Jesus was a real person or not. But we have independent reports about Jesus in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have Paul's letters. Paul is a contemporary of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're an atheist or if you're a Jew or what religion you are. Everybody believes that Paul wrote Galatians. He knew Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus. He knew Jesus' own brother, who was James. Even Bart Ehrman, who's one of the agnostic scholars, says if Jesus wasn't real, you'd think his brother James would know it. Right. So really, people who have PhDs in ancient history, nobody will doubt that Jesus is a real historical person. But we've got stuff outside the Bible, too. And for me, that's what I find. I find that people are a lot more interested in the sources outside the Bible.
Right.
And when you think about the fact that Jesus was living in kind of a rural part of this massive Roman Empire, it's kind of a big deal that we have him mentioned in these sources outside the Bible. Here's three quick ones. One is a Roman historian by the name of Suetonius, and he wrote about how the Jews were kicked out of Rome because they were troublemakers, and he said Jesus was a troublemaker too. Okay. And so he kind of links the two. So Jesus, a real historical guy, was a troublemaker, and then these Jews who followed him were troublemakers too. And then there's a Roman senator by the name of Tacitus, and he wrote about how Jesus was crucified under the authority of the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. There's even a Jewish historian by the name of Josephus, and he says the same thing. But then he also adds this bit about how there were Jewish leaders who worked behind the scenes to influence Pilate and all of this. So you've got a Roman, right? You've got a Roman senator writing about a Roman governor. You've got a Jewish historian writing about Jewish leaders, and both these guys agree. Jesus was a real historical person. He was crucified under Pilate. These sources outside the New Testament show how Rome saw Jesus as a troublemaker. He kicked off some kind of Jewish cult in their minds, but no one who was writing in the ancient world ever said that Jesus wasn't a real guy. You know, how easy would it be for the right. enemies of the Christian faith to say, this guy's not even real, he's a myth, look. But no one ever even said that. And that's why today virtually all scholars of ancient history agree Jesus was a real Jewish person who lived and was really crucified under the Roman government.
I think it's incredible that God has preserved purposefully people that have nothing to gain from mentioning the mm-hmm. fact that Jesus was causing problems for the Jewish leaders or whatever, and really just give evidence right there in their writings that he existed. And they're not trying to convert anyone. Most of them are, you know, on the opposite side of the
conversation. That's right. They're pretty hostile. I mean, the Romans were almost hesitatingly writing about Jesus. They didn't like to write about people that they didn't like, you know? And so Jesus, for them to even mention Jesus was kind of like they really didn't want to do it. And Paul, we think of Paul as like the world's greatest missionary. But we don't sometimes think about the fact that he was an enemy of the Christian faith.
Right.
Here's an enemy who says not only is Jesus a real person, but he's persecuting the church that was founded by Christ. And so why would he persecute something that was just a bunch of myths? He never came out and said this isn't true. In fact, he said he saw Jesus after Jesus was crucified. But that's kind of a different story.
Let's move on to the next issue, Mikkel. Why are so many people invested in the alleged myth of Christmas? What's the motivation behind the disbelief?
I think some people have some real historical questions about this or that detail regarding the Christmas story and how it's presented in the Gospels. But I think sometimes that people just are rejecting a historical conclusion, not because they really reject the history of it, but they're rejecting this theological implication that comes from a historical conclusion. I mean, there are many atheists who believe that Jesus was a real historical person. They just
right.
don't believe he's God, you know? And because they don't believe God's real in the first place. It seems that there are some people who are kind of threatened by it, I think, where it's like, well, if Jesus was real, then I have to kind of wrestle with some of the things he said.
That's
and
right.
that makes some people uncomfortable, I think. When it comes to Christmas, I think many people have an issue with the core story in terms of the supernatural elements of Jesus' birth, especially the virgin birth.
Right.
And I also think a lot of people have seen and heard things online about the virgin birth, like that it was copied from other religions or whatever. But a lot of this is just honestly misinformation that's just out there on YouTube, out there on the web, and people don't know how to tell what's true anymore.
Let's talk about some of the false stories. You know, when I was preparing for our conversation, I just did a quick search, and oh my goodness, there's so many popped mm-hmm. up discounting the virgin birth of Christ.
Well, I think first we need to help our friends clarify what the doctrine of the virgin birth even is. Because sometimes I think people think they know what it is and they go, well, that's, you know, really difficult to believe in. But just to set the record straight, the virgin birth, it's really the idea that Mary didn't have sex with anybody when Jesus was conceived. According to Luke's gospel, an angel told Mary she would become pregnant. And she asked, how would a thing like that possibly happen? I've never been with a guy before. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of God will overshadow you. So it's just a miracle of God. Jesus is just conceived as a straight up miracle. I can think of a few alleged parallels that tend to come up. An Egyptian god named Horus. There's a Roman cult of Mithra that comes up. And even a story of a Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus. So there's like a bazillion of them, but I think we can take a few moments to talk about three quick ones.
And those are some of the ones that I saw in my quick search. So I know that those are pretty popular arguments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there's this video on YouTube that talks about the virgin birth and a number of different other events from Jesus' life as being copied from the myth of an Egyptian god named Horus. Horus looks like a guy with the head of a falcon.
Okay.
That's because his mom was a goddess named Isis, and she sometimes shows up like a bird, which is why I think he had the falcon head. But the thing is, she was already married to this green god named Osiris before she gave birth to Horus. The best Egyptian account of the myth, it's called The Great Hymn to Osiris. It tells us straight up that Horus was not born of a virgin at all. Basically, Isis and Osiris had sex. It's kind of weird, but basically that's what happened. It says, Isis took in his seed and created the heir, Osiris, son Horus.
So why is that counted as a virgin birth then? So somebody's taken it and run with it and made up a story around it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you think about it, you don't want people taking our deeply held religious beliefs and using them for something and twisting them to make them what they're not. It's kind of disrespectful to the people who held these beliefs to say that their God was just like Jesus when he wasn't.
I gotcha.
So step one is really, okay, well, let me check out the premise first. Let me at least take a look at the actual story and see if there's even a parallel there. Because a lot of times, like I said, it's just straight up misinformation. I mean, a green god getting together with a bird goddess looks nothing at all like how the Bible says Jesus was conceived. So
Exactly. That's
the first one.
You know, we oftentimes don't even do the research when we hear stories and we, you know, look on the internet and we find this random website and we think, wow, that's great. Okay, that solves it for me. And then, you know, but I like what you're implying that we need to take it a step further, do our own research, investigate it, and we can clearly see that that one was kind of pulled out of thin air. All right, what about the next story?
The next one that I mentioned was Mithra, and this is another parallel that comes up all the time. There's a god named Mithra. Mithra worship got real popular in the Roman era, kind of after Christianity, when Roman soldiers would take these things and kind of mix them in with different beliefs of the people they conquered. So there are a number of versions of how Mithra was created, but really none of them have a story where he was actually born of a virgin. So, for example, in the Roman version, Mithra was born as a full-grown adult coming out of the side of a rock. And in fact, there's an ancient inscription that describes him as born from the rock. He's the rock-born god. So unless you want to call a huge rock a virgin, that's not going to work.
Yeah, these seem kind of like really far stretches. I'm not really sure.
They really
sure.
do, you know, and some people will say, well, you know, it was kind of like a virgin mountain or something like that. Well, you know, or there's another story where it was the virgin dawn. Well, okay, how does the dawn stop being a virgin? How does a rock stop, you know?
Exactly.
These metaphors are just being stretched to the point where they don't even mean what they meant in the original story. So the idea that the virgin birth was ripped off of Mithra doesn't work because there's no story saying Mithra was actually born of a virgin like Jesus was. And in fact, there's not even no virgin. There's not even a woman. But some people are going to say, all right, well, here's a real historical guy. Caesar Augustus. He is a real emperor, a Roman emperor. And some people will say that, and I remember I saw this on TV around Easter time back in the day, that people thought he was the son of the Roman god Apollo. And so they say, well, you know, he was a great guy. He was probably born of a virgin. Jesus was a great guy. That's why they said he was probably born of a virgin too. So, okay, step one, we're going to check out the actual story, right, and see what we got. Is it even a parallel?
Right.
So there's a Roman historian by the name of Suetonius. I mentioned him earlier in the broadcast. And he actually wrote this legend down. And he wrote this legend down in the second century. So think again, if this is after Jesus, maybe there's some, you know, Christian influence here.
Okay.
But that's one of the best accounts we have. But basically the story goes that Augustus' mom was already married. She was worshiping Apollo, but she'd already been married for some time. And then this snake suddenly showed up while she was sleeping. And she got this weird mark on her when she woke up. And 10 months later, Augustus was born. But there's no virgin birth there.
Right,
I know.
She's married.
And Augustus had an older sister. So there you go.
Exactly. Okay. Let's talk about some of the evidence for the virgin birth. How can we show and demonstrate that the virgin birth actually occurred?
Yeah, it's cool to have the ability to look up these things and see that the challenges really aren't the parallels they claim to be. First, let's take a look at this idea of making up a fake story. How is that going to help anything? If they made up a fake story about Jesus being born of a virgin when he really wasn't, would that make Jews want to worship Jesus to say, hey, Jews, Jesus is kind of like pagan gods. You know those pagan god stories?
Right.
That's not going to make Jews want to worship Jesus. In fact, it made Jews suspicious of Jesus, like who his real dad was. And you can see this going on in John 8 when some people in Judea told Jesus, we were not born as a result of immorality. It's like, we know who our dad is.
Yeah.
A little taunt there. So it's like they're going, we know all about how Joseph isn't your real dad. The ancient church, I think, would not have said that Jesus was born of a virgin unless they really believed he actually was. The other thing, too, that people will say they made up the virgin birth. Well, if they made it up, why didn't they emphasize it a lot? The first Christians didn't emphasize this virgin birth thing. They weren't going around saying, everyone follow Jesus. He was born of a virgin. Isn't that cool? It only shows up, the virgin birth story itself shows up twice, in Matthew 1, in Luke 1. If the church made the story up, why didn't they talk it up? Why weren't they talking it up every time they preached the gospel? That's another question that comes to my mind in terms of, you know, when people thought about an emperor being a god of some sort, for example. This is totally different, again, than how Jesus is being portrayed in the Bible. All these people meant was that he was one of the lower guys on the totem pole of the pantheon of gods, like Caesar Augustus, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody thought that, you know, Caesar Augustus was the one true God who made the heavens and the earth. No, that's who Christians said Jesus was. And so whatever myths tend to come up in conversation, Jesus really stands out among them all. Why would the Christians make this story up? It doesn't help anything. If they made it up, why didn't they emphasize it? And if the Christians ripped it off myths, how come it doesn't look like myths?
One last question that I had for you, Mikhail, is, you know, when we talk about the virgin birth, why is that so important? Why do we even care about that?
I think the virgin birth is important because it's the incarnation. It's what we celebrate during Christmas time. It's that the God who made the universe, who made everything that exists, cared enough about you and me to come to earth in the form of a human being, to become a human being, and do something totally permanent to himself and take on a human nature so that he could die for us, so he could die for our sins. And that's really what we celebrate during Christmas. It's not just a cute baby Jesus lying in a manger.
Right.
It's God incarnate. And the virgin birth is how that happened. It's how Jesus left heaven to come to earth. But I think if you're not closed off, if you haven't already made up your mind that miracles don't happen, if you're open to the idea that God exists, that God made the heavens and the earth, and that Jesus left heaven to come to earth, then I think it makes sense to believe that the virgin birth happened, just like the Bible says it did.
Well, Mikel, thank you so much for being here. As always, you did a wonderful job explaining what could be a challenging topic, and I appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
Well, if you're just joining us, I'm Carrie Cooper, and you're listening to You Too Have Hope.